You know what time it is. Time to hang out.
Hang with Mr. Cool.
We're Mr. Cooper. We're Mr. Cooper. We're Mr. Cooper.
Get the ladies cool.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Hang with Mr. Cool.
We're Mr. Cooper. We're Mr. Cooper. We're Mr. Cooper.
Get the ladies cool.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Welcome to the Bit Scoop with Coop. I'm your host, Coop. Big shout out to everybody that's listening right now on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to. Also, don't forget, if you want to see the video recording of this show, make sure you go to thebitscoopwithcoop.com where you can catch episodes from season one all the way now. Also, you can catch me on Facebook, facebook.com/thebitscoopwithcoop. Also on Instagram, IGTV, baby. You can catch me there at Big Scoop with Coop and on YouTube at The Bit Scoop with Coop. Doing it for several years. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Mr. Tanel Yakim. Now, Mr. Yakim has been doing a lot of things. He's also known as TJ. He has a stand-up comedy special that's going to be on Amazon Prime. It's actually on Amazon Prime right now. Go check it out after this interview. It's called January the 3rd. You can see on Amazon Prime, like I said. We're going to catch up with him. We're going to talk to him, see what's going on with him, see what he's got going on in the future and now. All right, people, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. TJ, Tanel Yakim.
Everybody, we are back. We are back. We are back. We saw a little piece of this man comedy. You see he's killing it. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, the one and only TJ. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it. Michael, correct? Michael's got the best name so far of a show that I've interviewed with. It's perfect. It's perfect. Everything works. It's great. Well
done.
Thank
you. Thank you very much. How's your day going so far?
So far, so good. Monday in Brooklyn. It's getting cold right now, but we're getting used to it. That's COVID with the winter is a little bit scary, but we got to do what we got to do.
Man, I feel you. I'm in North Carolina, so we're actually feeling ourselves right now. It's getting cold, so I know it's probably about anywhere between 40 and 50-something degrees right now. So, yeah, you're right. We don't have the NY coldness right now, but y'all can keep that up there.
Hey, man, if you want to make your life uncomfortable, move to New York and enjoy our winters. Would you do that?
No, sir. No, sir. I'm playing Uno with this. I'm throwing out my skip card. Not doing that. Yes, yes. Now, TJ, like I said, man, you've been doing this comedy thing for a few years now. You're killing the stages right now. You've been doing a lot. But everybody wants to know the story. How does it actually start with you? So when did you first realize that you wanted to become a comedian?
I started realizing this around 2008, 2009, because I moved here as an immigrant from Haiti when I was 19 years old. I came here to go to college. And while I was in college, learning English, improving my English, because we don't speak English in Haiti. I'm Haitian Creole and French. So I'm learning this new language. And one of the best ways that I found out to learn a language is by watching TV, a lot of TV. Because, you know, it gets in your head, you learn the idiosyncrasies, you learn all the idioms, and it's great that way. So by watching TV, I started watching a lot of comedy, stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And it just made this weird impression on me. And I was like, oh, I like what these people are doing. Because, you know, being comedy, there's a big umbrella of comedy, right? Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of stuff. We have comedy in Haiti, but we didn't have stand-up comedy. That very specific American art form with just one guy and a microphone and a stage and an audience, it's the most simplistic thing in the world, but it's the greatest thing to me. And it blew my mind. And I thought, I like this. I think a part of me wants to do this.
Wow. Now, you know, doing this and you watching it on television, and I think you can protest to this, watching on TV and then you getting on stage doing it, that's two different levels, isn't it?
Oh my God, it's day and night. Are you kidding me? It's day and night. Because when you watch it, you think, oh, those guys, how do they even do this? Do they just go up there and start being funny? how does it work? And then you start doing it, so you kind of, now you're in the back room. You go in the kitchen to see how the meal is prepared. Mm-hmm. And that's very different from the meal that you get in front of you when you go to a restaurant. Yep. You're like, what's the recipe? What are the ingredients? What does the chef do? How does this work? How do I name my meal? And how do I make sure people like it? Too much spice, not enough spice, too much salt, all of that stuff. So I started in 2012. I came to New York, went to an open mic. I had written 5 minutes of jokes that I prepared in front of my mirror. You just recite your little jokes to yourself. You don't know if they're funny because you're the only audience. In your head, they're funny. Then you go on stage and start talking, and you're like, oh, all right, this is a different animal. Mm-hmm. But the first time I did it, I was comfortable enough to feel like that's what I want to do. I did not kill, but I didn't bump either. I did okay. I got some chuckles. And that gave me the confidence to be like, all right, I've arrived. I've found what I want to do with my life, and this is it.
That's crazy. Now, TJ, I see, you know, you saying that you actually recited the stuff in the mirror, you know, getting yourself right and everything. But before you start reciting in that mirror, what type of hurdles did you go through to get yourself from when you started to where you are now?
Oh, my God. Whew. How much time do you have? Because anything in show business is very difficult. And it's hard for someone doing it to explain to people on doing it how hard it is, because people don't know that path. And it's never a straight path.
It's true.
There's just a lot of ups and downs, a lot of weird little turns, a lot of peaks and valleys, right? So I don't know the best way to explain it to you. It's you do it, and then you get better, bit by bit. You start getting a little bit more confident in yourself. And then you get confident enough where you're like, all right, I'm the shit now. And then you go on stage and you bomb. So now you're reminded, oh, I'm not the shit like I thought I was. So let me go back out there and do some more work. So it's an ever-evolving process. It's never ending, man. You're just trying to do it. You're trying to improve. And I think that's something that's attractive about it, but it's also discouraging about it, because there's no end in sight. You never feel like you're a master. You're just learning all the time.
That's crazy. Now, TJ, I think a lot of people, you know, that wants to become a comedian, I think they see it like how you started. You saw it on television. You seem like, okay, I can cook this ribeye steak. And then when you get on stage, that steak turned to a little burnt piece of chicken. And then they get scared. They scared to come back on stage and do it again. Now, in my belief, I believe this. I believe that if you have a true passion for doing something, yes, it's gonna punch you in the face when you get that first bomb session. But if you go back and do it again, you can't let that first bomb session scare you away from your profession. Because if you do, you will never accomplish the dreams that you're trying to do. And with you, you said you got a few chuckles, but the good thing is you didn't stop. You turned back around and you kept coming back up there. And now you're making history, especially on Amazon Prime. Well, we're going to talk about January the 3rd in a few minutes. We definitely are. But you said you watched it on television. So who are some of your mentors that helped you out in early stages? Or did you have any mentors at all to help you?
Well, I wouldn't say mentors, because I didn't really meet any of them. But the people I was looking up to around that time, like 2008, 2009, 2010, like those are the years of preparation before I actually mm-hmm. stepped on stage. Cat Williams was huge. I don't know. Well,
yes.
In 2008, he was doing big things. He was easily probably the king of black comedy. Mm-hmm. And then I was really into him, but I never felt like I could do what he does just because of how easy it looks. But I know it's not as easy to do as it is to make it look easy. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah. So he's very energetic. He's very physical. I'm generally a more mellow kind of guy, just kind of relaxing on stage. So I liked him, but I needed someone to give me a style that's closer to who I am. And then I discovered George Carlin.
Ooh. Okay.
That's one of the OGs, like top five greatest comedians of all time. And he was doing a style that was very, like, oh, man, this is difficult, but this is stylistically a little bit closer to what I feel like I am. And mm-hmm. that gave me that other push. And I was like, okay. So it doesn't have to be done only one way. Like, we don't all have to be Cat Williams. We can be other things. And that's a good realization to have, because you can settle into your own self. You find your style, and then you try to emulate the people you want to be. Yeah.
That's so true. Now, I see a lot of people that's in the United States and outside the United States, they, if they have some type of accent, they try to go after a Michael Blackston. And I'm telling people, well, I'm not physically telling people, but in my head, I'm like, you don't have to imitate, you know, be yourself. You can take part of the style, but be yourself. Don't repeat his jokes. Do what you do. If you want to mix a little bit of the style into it, fine. But yes. Do what you do. Now, have you seen a lot of people try to imitate a Kevin Hart or a Michael Blackston? I mean, in the career, seeing them on stage. Have you seen it a lot?
Every single night. And it's going to happen in any industry, because people are trying to find themselves. So what they do is they look at who's hot right now. Mm-hmm. So let me be that, because it seems like that's what's selling.
Right.
Which is, you know, I guess it's an okay thing to do in your early days. But if you keep doing that, you're never going to be an original. You're just going to be copying other people. Like, I see so many Kevin Hart styles every day. And I'm like, ah, dude, you're funny, but find you. Don't do too much Kevin Hart.
That's so true. That's so true. Ladies and gentlemen, is watching worldwide right now. I hope you're taking notes. If you're trying to be a comedian, I hope you're taking notes right now, because TJ is dropping gems right now. Be yourself. If you're going to use a style, okay, take a pinch of it. But don't pour the whole bag of sugar into your comedy jokes. Don't do it.
That's right. Yeah. We all learn from the people that came before us. I mean, you doing this. There's probably OGs in interviews and radio shows that you studied.
Yep.
That's true. Eventually, you become Scoop. You're the guy doing you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's so true. Now, I do want to bring up something that made kind of headlines, that dealing with you at the same time. Now, Donald Trump had some negative stuff to say about Haiti. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't cool. It was not cool at all. When you first heard about it, what was your initial reaction to Mr. Trump saying the stuff that he said? And what did you respond back to?
Oh, man. Are we able to curse on this show? Because I want to use the words. Okay.
Do what you do.
Yeah. So was it January 2018, I think the year was? Yeah. I think it was around that time. Yeah. He called Haiti a shithole country. Haiti and Nigeria and a bunch of other places. And when I first heard it, I wasn't surprised, because I was kind of already used to this guy's character. Like, mm-hmm. this is who you guys made president, so don't be surprised when this is who the president is. It's like, all right, so now it happened, and I'm thinking to myself, I've heard regular people say that. You know, but a regular person doesn't have the power to influence a country or make certain things normal. But when the president, the highest office in the land, who's supposed to be the most respected man in the country, says that about your home country, then it hurts on a different level. Because that's not the language of a president. That's not the diplomatic style of a president. And I felt like I wanted to say something. And luckily for me, I knew someone who knew me through comedy. I knew this editor at the New York Times, and they reached out to me and they said, hey, as a Haitian, you know, do you have anything you'd like to say about this? And I said, I very much would like to. So they gave me a couple of days, and I wrote a piece that got published in the New York Times. And what I wanted to do with the piece was not even, I didn't want to pretend that Haiti doesn't have problems.
Right.
Every place has their problems. And if you want to call it a shithole country and that's how you feel, go ahead. But what I wanted to do was bring a level of humanity to that place and show that, yes, of course, we have problems like every single country in the world. Different degrees of problems for different countries. But I wanted to talk about the people. And I kind of made little portraits of, this is the people that I grew up with. Those are the people that I've met. These are the people you're insulting by saying they live in a shithole country. And a lot of them are better people than you. I don't care what office you're holding right now. It happened by mistake, but just know that these people have way more decency, way more intellect than you could ever have.
So true. So true. Now, TJ, how did the people back home, how did they feel? Did people back home hear this about what Donald Trump originally said? Do you think it reached back to Haiti?
Oh, absolutely. 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 And Haitians are very prideful. Can I tell you a quick story? That I knew when that story broke the news. He used to travel and come here. And he was so angry by what Donald Trump said. He recorded himself burning his passport and his American visa to show that he'll never step foot in America again because of what Donald Trump said.
Man.
Yeah.
Man.
Now, that's the level of pride you're dealing with here. Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, TJ, do you think now, since we're having a new president, do you think that the Haitians will actually look at the United States a little bit differently since Trump is about to leave? Or, well, what is your personal opinion on that?
I think Trump was a representative of America, not the best, possibly one of the worst in the past 20 years, easily. But at the end of the day, America is America. So the face of the person changing doesn't mean the company has changed. It just changed like spokesperson. Now we got a new spokesperson. Now, does Biden being president mean you're gonna treat people differently? Is Haiti gonna be more respected because of that? Are you gonna treat them diplomatically and not take advantage of them? So that remains to be seen. So yeah, Trump is gone. We're all happy about that, but I don't know if that fixes the deeper problems. And that's the conversation we gotta have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. So yeah. Right now, Biden is really, for Haitians, Biden is really more in a show and prove scenario right now. So
that's right. That's right. And there's her name is Karine Jean-Pierre. There's a Haitian woman who is part of Biden's communication team, which is one of the highest positions in American politics ever held by a Haitian. So we're very happy about that. We're very proud of her. So we'll see where that goes and if that leads to some good moves in terms of helping the Haitian people.
Big shout outs to everybody in Haiti right now. Big shout outs to all the Haitians. Keep your head up. You guys are going to improve. I promise you that. Don't let Donald Trump dictate how all of Americans think, because Donald Trump did not speak for all of us. So please let them know that.
100%. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Now, let's talk about this. Amazon Prime. Man, you got this stand-up comedy on lock. You did your thing. It's called January the 3rd. Now, how did you come up with this, and how did this actually get all put together?
Well, I've been doing stand-up for about 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I'd accumulated enough material, because the way it works is you build stuff over time. Like you build it 10 minutes by 10 minutes until you have a long set and it's an hour long. That's the goal. Every comedian is trying to have an hour. That's your act. When you go on tour, you go and perform your act. So I had this and I was very happy with it, the quality of it, the response that I'd gotten from it. And I thought to myself, I got to find a way to put it out there. But because of the nature of the business, you know, I wasn't big enough. So there was no one knocking on my door asking me to make my special for me. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'll make it myself because I think it's good. So I saved some money, got a couple of friends to help me out. And I got a team of directors and cinematographers and sound people, and I found a venue in Brooklyn, put it together, and I recorded on my birthday. which is January 3rd.
Wow.
And that's where the title comes from.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Now, how was it? I mean, crowd-wise, I heard them laughing. You were doing your thing. I will tell you a little story about that that you don't know after I answer this question. But did you feel with this live performance, it's your birthday, was the energy on like 150 for you right then when you was doing that comedy, that stand-up? How was it for you?
The energy was great, but I also kept in mind, in the back of my mind, hey, you still got to work. Mm-hmm. No one is going to sit down and listen to you for an hour if it's not worth their time. Like, for the first 2 minutes, they'll be like, hey, it's your birthday, we're happy to see you. But it's like, make us laugh, motherfucker. We're going to sit here and watch this, so you better bring it. So, yeah, we're celebrating, but we're working. And I got to make sure I'm working. I got to do my thing and be sharp. And it takes a lot of mental energy to do an hour of comedy. So you got to... And you know how things are nowadays. Everybody's on their phone, so people get easily distracted. So I got to be so focused that I'm taking you away from the temptation of reaching out to your phone and be like, oh, I'm bored, let me just look at this real quick. No. Like, I got to keep you focused. I got to keep it funny, keep it interesting enough so that you stay with me. I can't lose you.
I see. Now, yeah. I want to tell you a little story you didn't know.
Okay.
So when I was watching a little bit of January the 3rd, I was drinking a Sunkist soda. And you burnt my nose. I'm going to put it to you like this. You did, when you did that part about how the rich people laugh, that kind of, so it was like this, right? I was watching, I pretend the soda, I'm drinking, and you went, man, I did not expect that. So the soda went up, and orange droppings started coming down my nose. I was like, oh my God. You burnt the hell out my nose on that one. But I ain't gonna lie, that jump was funny. I did not expect that one.
Thank you, man. This is the greatest compliment. This is the greatest thing for a comedian to hear, what I did to him. So I'm glad. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You definitely got me on that one. And I was like, man, I said, yes. He's gonna reach to the top. I already see it coming.
Thank you. Thank you for the vote of confidence. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen is watching right now. Amazon Prime. Go watch it January 3rd. Do not go watch it right now because you're watching this interview. After this interview, January 3rd, if you don't have Amazon Prime, go purchase Amazon Prime. That's watch right. The stand up. If you want to laugh, this man right here got you. Make sure you do it. But word of warning, do not have a sun kiss in your hand like I did and to drink that while you're watching this. You will be thirsty for an hour. Do not drink while you're watching this comedy. So, just
have
to let
some,
you know
have some water. Have some water so it doesn't burn, okay? Yeah. Just do that.
Yeah. He still wants you to drown through your nose. Just he don't want you to burn through your nose.
Yeah, I want... Give me that drowning, baby. That's what I'm about. I want all of it.
Yes, yes. Now, if you could right now, let's say if you had to make another stand-up show, okay? Mm-hmm. This could be your second one. Let's say producers, directors got up with you. They say, TJ, we love what you did on January the 3rd. Let's make another one. If you could pick two or three comedians from the past or right now in the present, alive or dead, who would you actually have to do the stand-up comedy show with you?
Oh, my God. That's a big question. To do it with me?
Do it with you. So they're going to open for you. I don't care who it is, past or present. You got the opportunity, whoever it is, to open up your show. Two or three people. Who would it be?
That's
dead or alive, past or present.
I want to pick the legends, the people that I respect, but because they're so good and better than me, then it becomes weird to have them open for me. You know what I mean? Like, usually the person that opens for you isn't a legend.
Right. That's why we put this thing in reverse. So they're doing to bring you out.
Man, I mean, I have to go with, first of all, the king of every single comedian that's come after him. We all trying to do what this man did at the highest level that it's ever been done. Richard Pryor, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. Richard Pryor. Yes, that's the man. I know a lot of people my age probably don't study him as much. I think that's a mistake.
Yes.
You have to know your history and study the people that created the space that you can do this thing the way you're doing it. We all trying to do Richard Pryor because he changed the nature of stand-up comedy itself.
So
I was with Richard as the king. Then I'd go with Dave Chappelle. That's Yeah, that's the emperor. So how many people did you want? Two?
Up to three.
Oh man, that's a tough one.
See, that last one's gonna get you because now you got about 20 names in your head and you don't know which one to pull. See?
I know it's tricky because there's like about 3 or 4 people that I put on that same level, and it feels like picking one is unfair to the others. Because there's so many people I study, and they all. All right, I'll do this because he's gone, and we all love him and respect him, and he's not well known. He didn't die famous, but he died highly respected by all comedians. You may know him, Patrice O'Neill.
I've heard the name. Yes, I heard the name.
I would go. Nice. Patrice is incredible. Incredible. He unfortunately died in 2011, I think, at the age of 41, which is way too soon. But that man had so much left in the gas tank and was taken from us way too soon. Way too soon. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Nice. Now, that's what I like about it. You know, you actually pay respect by bringing some people from the past up in this. So that's what I'm talking about. I respect what you said about Dave Chappelle because Dave, he throws truth inside of his comedy. So you can't get mad at what he say because these are facts that he's throwing out there. That's what we're talking about. Patrice, right. Yes. 41, too early, man. Too early.
Way too early.
Yes. Now, TJ, are there any other projects that you're working on right now that you'd like everybody to know about?
Well, right now I'm writing a couple projects, and you know, those are kind of things you do in secret, so you don't want to talk about them until they're ready. But okay. I'm building stand-up material for my next hour. Wow. Since, you know, I did January 3rd, it's out there, so now I gotta work on building the next one. You know, you don't want to get complacent. I did a thing, now let's work on the other thing. It's like I finished an album. As a musician, am I inspired to do another one? Oh, yes, I am. I got more shit to say, so let's go and start working on that. I don't know how the state of the world is gonna be, so maybe, you know, 2022, it'll be out. Who knows? But I'm working on it, and I want to take my time and make it great because you don't want to just do it for the sake of doing it.
That's true. Now, yeah. I know you said it's early right now. You're planning 2022, but let me ask you this. Are you planning to keep it as of right now? Are you planning to keep it in New York, or are you hitting the road, or how are you – what do you have in your mind for it right now?
I'm hitting the road, man. I love performing in the different parts of America because not only you get to know how people think in different areas, but you also get to see the country, and you also get to test how good your material is.
Because
if I stay in New York and do stuff only for New York people, then I don't really know if that stuff works for North Carolina people.
That's true.
So you want to have something that's as universal as possible. And the only way to know that is by testing it on different crowds. So I definitely want to, when the world allows us to do that again, I want to go on tour and perform in as many parts of the country as possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you keep up with TJ because you want to keep up with him in 2 years. You don't know where this man is going to make you make orange soda come out your nose or water come out your nose. You want to make sure you keep up with this guy. This is one thing you want to do. Now, talking about keeping up with you, TJ, what's the best way for everybody to keep up with you on social media?
Right now, the best way is to follow me at TJ Standup. At TJ Standup, that's on Instagram and Twitter. Those are the ones I use the most, where I put out all my stuff. I'm not an influencer on social media, but when I make something, please go and follow me. I'll let you guys know about it. Go get it, and then we'll stay in touch. That's the best way to do it.
Give it to him one more time, TJ. Let him know one more time where to follow you at.
At TJ Standup on Instagram and Twitter. At TJ Standup. Please stay in touch. Come say hello and find all of my stuff out there.
Everybody, make sure you do go check him out. Follow him on Instagram, follow him on Twitter, because you don't know where this man is going to be at next. When this next stand-up come out, I mean, he may be in your area. Don't wait for it to just hit on television or streaming service. Go catch it live. And trust me, I got a feeling TJ, when he's ready, he's going to announce where it's going to be at when he's ready. So make sure you do stand up there. Yep, make sure you stay up with him and follow him. Now, TJ, there's a lot of people that are trying to become comedians. Like I said, male and female. What advice would you give any male or female that wants to become a comedian as a career?
I would say take some time to think about if this is actually what you really want to do. Because sometimes we do things because they seem cool. Or, you know, maybe people, comedians are popular now, so let me go be a comedian. But those are the wrong reasons to get into something. Because the road is too difficult to just do it because you want to be cool. That's never, you'll suffer too much. You'll quit. Really, what will happen if you'll quit? So think about why you want to do it. And think of all the obstacles that are going to come your way. And if you think about that and you realize how hard it's going to be and you still want to do it, then go ahead and do it. Because that's what is going to motivate you when it's 9 p.m. and you're in some terrible motel in a weird little town where you don't know anyone. You're lonely. The show didn't go great. You don't have a girlfriend to talk to and, like, you know, complain and vent about what happened. Those are the moments where you're like, why the fuck am I doing this? Right? And then you got to find a reason inside of you to keep going. So that reason, make sure you have it even before you start doing it. That would be my advice.
Nice, nice. Everybody, I hope you took this in. Now, TJ, I know we don't have a lot of time left. You're a busy man. But this is the last segment of the show. It's called Take the Floor. Now, you have up to 2 minutes to say whatever's going on up here, whatever you want to say. No questions asked. TJ, take the floor.
All right. Here's what I want to say to the people, especially the fans of comedy. Comedy is one of the last remaining performing arts where we get to be real, where we get to be free and say how we feel and be the best and the worst versions of ourselves, which is the truth. The truth about people is never pretty. There's the good side and the bad side, and comedy is the only place where we get to do all of it. So please, all of the people out there trying to cancel comedians or telling comedians what they can and can't joke about, you are destroying a great art form. You are ruining something that is so American because it allows you to be as free as you can. It allows you to show who we really are. Like, if I'm a kid who came from Haiti and I was able to connect with an old Irish Catholic white man in America because he was speaking some real shit, then why would you take that away from anyone? Let people do what they do so they have that freedom to communicate with anyone in the world, because comedy in the end is about bringing people together. So let us keep doing that and don't ruin it. It'll make you much happier.
Nice, nice. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, TJ, go check out his joint January the 3rd on Amazon Prime. Follow him on Instagram and Twitter. He just spoke the truth today. Make sure you keep up with him. 2022 is projected. Let's see where TJ is going to take this thing. TJ, man, thank you very much for coming on the show, and I would love to have you back on in the future.
Thank you, man. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with you, and I really appreciate you for having me, man.
Hey, anytime. All right, everybody, my next guest on the Bit Scoop with Coop is, you know, I never announced my next guest, so you have to stay tuned to find out who it is. All right, people, season 9 still going strong. Until the next time on the Bit Scoop with Coop.